everyone. Welcome to episode 28 of Stray Dog Footy, an American podcast on Australian rules football. Some people call me Frodo, and it's close enough to my real name. I saw a t-shirt the other day that read something like, "I'm Norwegian, and you can't pronounce my name." Well, that's certainly true in my case, whether you naturally speak with an American or an Australian accent. It certainly was in my case when I first moved to the United States as a kid. The Brooklyn accent certainly didn't help at all. So I think Frodo works just fine, for our purposes here anyway. Well, enough about me. The grand final is set. One preliminary was a close contest, and the other went more in the way of a thumping, especially late in the game. First up, we had the Tigers narrowly besting the Power, and all credit to Richmond. It seemed like they had erected an invisible and an impregnable dome whose circumference lined up with their defensive 50-meter arc perfectly. Try as they may, with the sands of the hourglass passing inevitably through the narrows, there just seemed no way for Port Adelaide to get in position to take back the lead. At the final siren, it was the Tigers by the low score of 46-40. Heartbreaking for the South Australian team and crowd, no doubt, having been on top all season long, just to fall a few points short, just one step away from the grand final. And though this may be a small consolation, Port fans really have to be happy with how far they have come from last season. Anyone else remember that Powers coach Hinkley was basically about to be fired? How improbable it seemed that he would be keeping his job by his team actually making the finals in 2020. Well, they did that and much more. And I expect that next year we will see more of the same. But I have to hand it to the Tigers. You know, back-to-back trips to the grand final is pretty impressive. Put aside the fact that 17 other teams are also competing to get there. Consider this. Those 17 teams are all focused in on emulating and at the same time besting you. You stood out among the rest last year. Everyone else is now looking at you like an anthropologist with a one-inch brush, digging into your system and your players, layer by layer, searching for both strengths and weaknesses. I know that in 2016, the Bulldogs shocked many people with their fast handball-type play, something they did arguably better than anyone in the league. Boom, they win the flag, and everyone takes notice. Come 2017, almost every club now seems to be handballing like they're playing hot potato. Call it a premiership hangover if you want, and there may be something to that, but part of it is undoubtedly that everyone has you in their sights, and that much more dialed in. So again, kudos to Richmond for making it back to the big dance. Then the following day, we had the Cats curb-stomping the Lions, especially in the second half. The exuberance of youth faltered before the mature and strong play of Geelong, giving the Hooped Ones the win by a score of 82-42. And with the offensive and explosive arsenal the Cats possess, it may even be easy to forget to mention how great their defense is as well. Well, I, for one, certainly wouldn't bet the mortgage on the over this coming weekend, for sure. But take nothing away from Brisbane. Under Coach Fagan, they have climbed the ladder year after year at an astounding pace, and they aren't going anywhere, if I had to guess. And of course, congratulations go out to Lachie Neale on winning the Brownlow with a ridiculous amount of votes, especially in this COVID-shortened season, even if he did have to present the medal to himself. A little closer to home, congratulations also to star Bulldog Jackson McRae for his career best count in the Brownlow votes. With his 15 votes, he shares fifth spot with Patrick Dangerfield, Luke Parker, and Dustin Martin. Not bad company, to say the least. So apparently, while you can take the grand final out of Victoria, it seems it is considerably more difficult to keep Victoria out of the granny. And I'm not just talking about the strip of MCG turf they trucked in either. Despite the hub life, the isolation, the restrictions, and the fact that you would be hard-pressed to find a better AFL season for the non-Victorian teams to dominate, two teams from opposite sides of Port Phillip Bay now are poised to fight for the silverware, almost 900 miles or 1,500 clicks away. Well, what do you think? Are these the teams you thought would make it into the granny? Some people have commented that it would be fun if I mentioned my tips each week on this podcast. Well, as you may have noticed, I will sometimes allude to them, but I rarely commit. And that is for two reasons. One, I always tip the Bulldogs, no matter the odds. I can't bring myself to go against my club. I don't have a lot of faith in much these days, but I always have to believe that the Doggies can beat anyone on any given game day. Now, if they will, that remains to be seen, and is a primary reason for the ulcers and cardiac arrhythmias I'm sure I'm developing. And reason number two is I'm really not any good at it. Sure, I have decent weeks where I only miss one or two tips, but some weeks I'm horrible. And this preliminary round was the worst I have ever done. Yep, missed them both. So if I fail to mention my tips for the week in future episodes, know that if the Doggies came away with a win, I got at least one right that round. But that being said, I was put on the spot while doing an interview on the Yank on the Footy podcast by Craig a few days ago, and I did pick the Cats. If nothing more than to see Gary Ablett Jr. ride off into the sunset with his head held high. I agreed that it would most likely be a low-scoring affair. Both of these teams know a thing or two about defense. And if it rains, which seems quite possible at this stage, the score could be even lower than expected. Still, it has the potential to be one of the great grand finals in history. The match is scheduled to start at 4:30 a.m. here in the Eastern Time Zone of the United States, and you can watch it on, or set your DVR to, Fox Sports 1. I will post a link to the interview on A Yank on the Footy in the show notes should you want to check it out. The other guest, Rick Schiaboni, has a lot of interesting things to say, and it's definitely worth checking out. You could even skip my nonsense. And of course, I'd like to extend my thanks to Craig Vessels for having me on the show in the first place. But how about you? Who are you picking? Hit me up on social media or via email at straydogfooty@yahoo.com to let me know your premiership tip. And also, how are you watching the grand final this year? Is it going to be very different with the COVID restrictions and later start time? And what are your traditional grand final day snacks? Meat pies? Sausage rolls? Let me know. I, for one, am setting the alarm early as my buddy is coming over at around 4 a.m., whereas in times past, the granny would start at just after midnight. So this year, instead of making our usual late-night taco run, we will be having some breakfast burritos, made with Mission Brand tortillas, of course, as they have been the longest-running sponsor the Bulldogs have ever had. In fact, even with the uncertainty of COVID looming over the AFL season, Mission still recommitted to continuing being a major partner of the Western Bulldogs this year. How freaking cool is that, right? So, as Bulldogs president Peter Gordon once said on his Drill Hall podcast, support us, support our people. And eating Mexican food, or even my personal favorite, New Mexican, this certainly is one way to support my club I find easy to do. Speaking of supporting my club, I think it's time for this edition of the Bulldogs Bio. Today, I would like to talk to you a little bit about not one single person, but a whole group of amazing people who it was my great honor to meet, and it is my pleasure to keep in touch with. I am referring to the one and only Bulldog Cheer Squad. You've seen them in seasons past on TV, maybe even in person, gathered up behind one of the goals, waving the giant flags and pom-poms, holding signs and banging drums, in general making a huge nuisance of themselves whenever an opposing player is lining up for a set shot on goal. The more obnoxious, the better. Of course, none of that this season. Thanks a lot, COVID. And it just doesn't seem right for a Sharon O'Ville intent to fly towards the goalposts without that throbbing angry sea of red, white, and blue willing it to fade towards the behind post. As cool as the life-size poster board cutouts were, it just wasn't the same. And yes, I did send in my photo to be a part of it as well, but I never did find myself, if I was even lucky enough to make it in there at all. But you have probably seen many of the diehard core cheer squad members on TV this year anyway. after a score especially, in their homes, on their couches, dressed to the nines, waving and clapping for all they're worth, looking for all the world as some insane crossover between the Bastille Day Party, a 4th of July celebration, and an episode of Hollywood Squares. People who, in their exuberance, dedication, and love of the club, make me seem somewhat tame and normal, despite recently being told that I may be in need of an intervention when it comes to the purchase of Bulldogs merchandise and apparel. And how much joy did I receive when during every Bulldogs game this year I recognized the familiar face in most, if not all, of the Zoom meeting-like boxes. How I wished I was watching a match in person with them again. And how fondly I recalled meeting them last year. I hadn't been in Melbourne very long when one night, after returning to my hotel room and its internet connection, I was greeted by a comment on my Facebook post about my first visit to the kennel. It was from a member of the Bulldogs cheer squad who, as it turns out, is celebrating a birthday right now as I'm recording this. Anyway, this lovely message read, "We would love to have you come out and hold the banner with us on Saturday night. You are even welcome to join the cheer squad for the game. We can give you a front row seat." Now, I had indeed wanted to join the cheer squad for a game. Having seen them on TV for a few seasons, it was definitely something I wanted to try to do and cross off my bucket list. And if memory serves, I had done a little bit of research and I understood that you could enter the stadium with a regular ticket and then go pay a small fee to be able to sit with the cool kids. Sounds easy enough, but if you have ever walked around Marvel Stadium, which I had just done a day before actually, you realize that it is freaking huge, and I had horrible visions of me stumbling around inside, lost, before and possibly during the match, looking for a contact person. Not an ideal way to experience my first Bulldogs game, for sure. But never in a gazillion years had it occurred to me that I could actually be standing out on the field at Marvel Stadium. A place I had to come to see as something of a hallowed ground, a place where the Bulldog spirit can lead to footy miracles happening, let alone actually participating in a holy rite as my team runs past. And you know, I hadn't even asked. All I had done was post about how excited I was to finally visit the kennel. My reply, after scraping my lower jaw off the tile floor, was, "Oh my goodness, I'm speechless. What an absolute honor. I was hoping to upgrade and sit with the squad. Thank you. What do I wear? Where do I go?" She gave me more specific instructions, and it turns out, easy enough, that it was right behind the goal where they always sit during away games. I swear, sometimes I just make things too complicated for myself. And then she wrote, "Just wear your red, white, and blue." This would not be a problem. Pretty much everything I wore over there were of the tricolor variety. As that first visit to the kennel, I hit the Bulldog shop pretty hard. In fact, in that Facebook post, I believe I mentioned something about spending my grandkids' inheritance. I also remember one Melbourne tour operator asking me something about just how many pieces of Bulldog's kit I was wearing. I believe I said something about still needing to find underwear. I never did, but that second empty suitcase I brought was still bursting at the seams from all the Bulldog's merchandise. But anyway, on Saturday, June 15th, more importantly, round 13 of the 2019 AFL season, I rock up to Marvel Stadium. It wasn't my first visit, of course. I had walked around it my first day in Melbourne, and even attended a match there on Friday between the Bombers and the Hawks. But now, even though it was a Carlton home game, the Bulldogs and their fans were in the house. I made my way to one of the narrower ends of the field, the Southern Cross train station end, and proceeded to hand over my money for the upgrade to a staffer, but was interrupted by the words, "Nope, no charge for him, he's a special guest." I was like, "I am?" But before I could clarify the situation, I was whisked away down to the front row, where I was rapidly introduced to dozens of people while we walked onto the field and down the race to where the red ponchos and the evening's game banner had been stored. Now, to say this was a bit of a whirlwind is something of an understatement. I remember some of the names of the people I met, mostly because I have since communicated with many of them. But one person's name I already knew, and the group, and that was Scott West. One of the greatest footballers to ever wear the red, white, and blue, and whose photos and story I had studied at the AFL Hall of Fame just the day before. When we were introduced, I managed to not mention how many of his footy cards I had collected. You know, playing it cool. But I think I mentioned something about having seen his son Riley playing in the VFL earlier in the day. Which had been pretty awesome too, honestly, knowing that the young gun would soon make his AFL debut. But even as calm and collected as I was trying to remain, I sure didn't say no to having a photo taking with the legendary Hall of Famer either. We next donned the red ponchos to protect our clothes, and around this time, Bulldogs captain Easton Wood comes walking past us and greets the group. I tell ya, it was all so surreal. But before I could wrap my head around it all, we are picking up the banner and carrying it out onto the field. It was so strange, walking onto this magical place I'd seen on TV. And it looks even more immense out there. The biggest space under roof I've ever been, for sure. Somehow, I managed to not screw up raising the banner. Not sure I really helped much, though. But it was amazing. And boom, there comes the team. The song plays, Sons of the West. The air is electric. I stand taking it all in, soaking up as much sensory input as my narrow bandwidth will allow. And then we break it down and scurry off the field. Wow, it was over. I had actually done it. I had raised the Bulldogs banner on the grass of Marvel Stadium. But hold on there, fat boy. The work had only just begun. Sitting in the front row of the chair squad carries a certain amount of responsibility. And as much as I loved every minute of the experience, it was a lot more physical than I had anticipated. Turns out those pom-poms, flags, and signs don't wave themselves. And I dare say that even the most fervent church service has nothing on the standing, sitting, jumping, clapping, and singing that goes on in a cheer squad. After the game, which we won by a score of 103-100, by the way, so yeah, lots to cheer for and against, I was exhausted and yet so proud. Even if in something of a state of denial. Had all that really just happened? But mostly just overwhelmed by the welcome I had received. But it wasn't over yet, as before we left the stadium, I was asked if I wanted to join the cheer squad at the kennel for banner making a few days later. How could I say no? Not that I wanted to, of course. Just tell me when and where. So on the following Thursday, I think it was, I spent literally almost the entire day at the kennel. I went in early enough to have lunch there and to mingle with some of the players and a few people I had previously met. Before the cheer squad showed up after hours for the banner making, I actually took a little stroll throughout Footscray. I even went to the library. How could I not stop in? The posts outside were painted red, white, and blue. Still from, I'm assuming, the 2016 Premiership. But soon back at the kennel, we were clearing out the tables in the cafeteria to make room for the huge banner, which turns out is about 90% clear shipping tape. Again, not sure how much help I was, but it sure was a lot of fun. Lots of laughs. And it's always great hanging out with and doing arts and crafts with people such as footy star Scott West and club savior Irene Chatfield. And the fact that the banner was for Woody's 150th game the next weekend made it even more special. But mostly, I was just so impressed by how much work and dedication the cheer squad pours into what they do. Not for money, not for fame, just for the love of supporting our club. They might be a motley bunch from all walks of life, some arriving at the club via car, by train, on a bike, or on foot. But they all have at least one very important thing in common. They are all red, white, and blue, Bulldog through and through. And they are awesome. I can't begin to thank everyone enough for the gifts I received in Australia, but know I treasure them almost as much as your friendships. Even since returning to the States, members of the cheer squad have even continued to help me out with my long-distance barracking. Some have even sent me items in the mail, and refused to let me compensate them for shipping. Though I haven't mentioned any member of the cheer squad by name, other than the more famous ones, I want you to know that it is by design. One reason being, I wouldn't want to embarrass anyone, but mainly because there are so many incredible people to thank, and I would hate to leave anyone out. Anyway, the ones who I've alluded to before, if they are listening, know who they are, and I hope they know they have my undying love and gratitude for everything they have done for me and continue to do for the club every day, every year, many of them decades on. Thank you, one and all, and I hope to see you again in person soon, my friends. And if there happens to be an open seat behind goal on that happy day, I would be honored to fill it once more. Before I go, I want to share a little bit of personal news. If you have listened to some previous episodes, you probably know that I carry several Bulldogs memberships, and that I was looking to add more. Specifically, I was wanting to add an E.J. Witten Social Club membership, but I had seen on the Bulldogs website that there was currently a wait list to get in. Well, I wrote the club to be put on the list, and I just received a response saying that since I am also a Top Dog Coterie member, the E.J. Witten Social Club is inclusive with this. So yeah, that's pretty sweet. I'll have to see if I can somehow weasel my way into the Charlie Sutton Premiership Circle too. I'll keep you posted. Well, I think that should just about do it for this episode. As always, I thank you so much for listening. Though it may not sound like it, putting this little thing together is actually quite a bit of work. Not much in the way of manual labor, of course, not like being part of the cheer squad, but it does consume some time. I would be so very thankful if you would be kind enough to share a link to this podcast with your friends and family. Maybe even give me a like and a rating wherever you listen to your podcasts. This particular podcast can be found on your favorite podcast player or at straydogfooty.podbean.com, Podbean being where I personally like to listen to my podcasts. I would, of course, love to hear your feedback. Please let me know what you like, dislike, or even hate about this pod. I'm always willing to hear what I could do to make it better. As always, you can reach me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at StrayDogFooty, and by email at StrayDogFooty@yahoo.com. In addition, I recently created a YouTube channel called Stray Dog Footy Podcast, where I have added all the episodes to this show. So if you happen to know someone who might possibly be bored enough to enjoy something of what I'm recording here, but who isn't necessarily likely to download a podcast player, then please send them a link to or a video from the YouTube channel. Once again, the name is Stray Dog Footy Podcast, and it's just another avenue for people to access the pod. Maybe one day, perhaps when I get better looking, I'll actually record these episodes on video. Or not. Time will tell. As usual, I need to mention that I am not endorsed by or officially affiliated with either the Australian Football League or the Western Bulldogs Football Club, beyond being a huge fan and supporter. Likewise, I am not endorsed or affiliated with Pagan or Rejected, but I am a fan of their great music. I would like to thank them for the use of their song, Red, White, Black, and Blue, which I used a portion of, like always, as the intro to this episode. I will also play us out to their entire song, and of course, leave a link in the show notes so you can find their music as well. Well, until next time, enjoy the granny as best you can this crazy year. Stay safe and have fun. Cheers.